Welcome back to episode 295 of the Bad Taste Video Podcast. I'm Mike. I'm here with Grizz. We're heading out west for the first time. I think I'm visiting Vegas. And actually, I don't think. I know. So let's hit that intro, baby. What is going on? Yes, we are covering Las Vegas Bloodbath, a movie that I wish I could say I own the tape, but unfortunately, that is a pretty,
not yet.
Yeah, that's a pretty hard one to track down. I will eventually get it. This was a first time watch for me. Grizz, was this also a first time watch for you?
Yeah, dude, and it was awesome, man. I am so stoked on this.
Yeah, this is some wild shit. But before we get into that movie, what's up, chat? What's up, Silhouetted Animator? What's up, Steve? Oh, Stephen Messi. I can't fucking, dude, I can't. I always forget. Gloomy Vampire, Jane Doe, what's going on? I'm the fucking worst. Oh, Gloomy,
you know, House to be, what up, dude?
Yeah, so, Chris. Viano, what's up? Yeah, man, Las Vegas Bloodbath. Everybody's here in the chat for a wild fucking movie. But before we get into that, Chris, we are on our way to finally... having our own ghost hunting company. Yes, this weekend I was gifted by my father an EMF reader. I've never actually owned one of these. I'm pretty fucking pumped to actually have it. Yes, it beeps, it makes noises, it fucking glows, all sorts of shit. But Grizz,
I thought it was like a personal vibrator when like you first showed it to me. I was like, what are we gonna do with that?
You could definitely stick this up your butt. I would not I was advise like,
that's
it.
That's double purpose, baby.
Yeah, I would definitely not advise it. But this is the first step in us finally finding life after death. We want to find proof it's out there. We are going to be the ones that fucking grab it, right? We already discussed the next time you come down. You're going to come over. We're gonna run through my house with some gear and see what's going on. Because I think
we're going to see what's up.
Yeah, I think maybe there could be some things here. You know, Pennsylvania, old place. Who the fuck knows? Huh? Yeah. Who the fuck knows what's here? I know back on Long Island, you had to deal with the Indian burial grounds, which were probably everywhere. That's why, you know, everything is fucking terrible. But
well, the bills are cursed, baby.
Is that why they say they're cursed?
The whole, like, the stadium is built on an old, like, cemetery and burial grounds.
No like fucking way.
In the back of the fucking, like, parking lot, there's a gate that has a cemetery, like, right next to the parking lot still that they didn't have to move. Wow.
And you know that been, like, people have done things to that. That they
so, like, they're building a new one across the street, and people are like, no one's talking about the fact that they're definitely digging up bodies again. Because it's way too close for that not to be happening.
Once they find something, like, that's it, right? Like, everything gets put on hold until they can figure out what to do with the property and shit, right?
Is it like desecration of a corpse?
I don't know. Like,
God, it's such a good fucking name for something. That I'm sure it is, but like, that's just so a good like. Bunch of words to put together, dude. That's fucking awesome.
So that is the reason why the Bills always choke in the playoffs or the Super Bowl is because a Native American curse, right?
Oh, I don't even know if it's, I mean, I'm sure it's Native American and also some probably like early settlers there in there too, pissed off. Just around bad juju is just surrounding
the team. Gotcha. They got their fucking pilgrim hats on. They're coming for you.
Yeah, I'll stop betting on them this next season, dude. It's not happening. All right, I'm telling you right now.
So, Grizz, we're gonna go on an adventure. Maybe, who knows, we'll end up with a show on the Sci-Fi Channel, right? Apparently, Pennsylvania's pretty haunted, I think, right? We gotta go to Gettysburg, maybe? Be like the millionth fucking people to do it there? Who knows?
We got to come up with like a real good fucking, you know, team name. Like, you know, everyone's got like different names paranormal crew. You know, we just have to come up with a real good one.
It's got
to
be like an acronym for something, right? Like,
yeah, but it says something like balls when you say it out loud, like something, yeah, but it stands for something different.
Oh, I thought we would have to think of something for like BTV. Like, we would have to, I don't even know what I don't even know what the hell we would do for that one. Because there's
you're putting us up against the wall right there. That's tough.
Yeah, we're gonna have to think about that.
We'll have a good mix. We'll figure something out. By the next episode, we'll have an update with the name of our paranormal team.
Yeah, what we're gonna have on our windbreakers, right?
Yeah, they're joggers.
Okay, so Grizz, this week we're covering Las Vegas Bloodbath, a movie that's from 1989, shot on video, absolutely fucking crazy. Very similar to things like Maniac, right? Similar vibe, almost Hell Roller-ish. Similar to me, at least.
So, to me, dude, this is like if Murderlust and Lunatic had a fucking meth baby, like this would be the outcome of that. Because it's very much like both of those movies. Like, to me, this could have been like labeled Murderlust too. It's just like a similar. You know, it's just a dude kind of with the same fucking appetite for like, you know, female destruction and like, you know, just a different motive, but it's a very similar fucking movie.
Yeah, I agree with that. I really feel like we understate how good of a movie Murderlust is. It's one of the best Prism Video releases that's out there. Yeah. Awesome fucking cover art and everything. Like it's illustrated cover.
Dude, that might be my favorite cover art. Like not even just Prism, but
just like in general, looks like a 50s, like a 50s EC Comics cover, like a horror comic from that time period, like pre fucking code and everything. It's a great movie. There's a lot of comedy in it. I don't know if it's really intentional or not when he's like, it's trash. Like I'm taking out the trash, like and all that shit. The fucking brother is like all fucking annoying. It's a great movie. I mean,
parts of it feel intentional, but other parts I'm just like, this could just be like kind of bad acting, bad delivery, but making it in the best way possible. Either like way, Murderlust fucking rules.
Yeah, I love that. That definitely rules. And I feel like we heard a few similar jokes in Lunatic, right? There's something that we're going to play later that we have a clip of that I believe they make the same joke in Lunatic.
Body part innuendos and stuff like
that.
Yeah.
When there's dismemberment in a shot on video film, you know that you're going to see some pretty, basic comedy, you could say, right? I don't know. Low-hanging fruit.
When you there was no dong in this movie.
Close.
Though.
We're close.
Inches. But did not happen. I don't know if like when I watched this thing, man, didn't it kind of feel like a more of like a Lunatic era, like Video Outlaw kind of movie? It didn't really feel like it was made in 89. Like I was like, God damn, like for 89, this seems like so like hyper violent. Whereas like there was stuff like video violence and stuff that was made in that time, but that still had like a pretty decent like story that like wrapped around with the whole thing. Whereas this is kind of just one line. Like, I'll give you guys a synopsis real quick. This is going to be like pretty simple. A dude gets cheated on by his wife. He then turns like complete fucking incel and decides he's going to kill all women and just goes on like a murdering spree in Las Vegas. That's the whole movie.
That's it.
I think what does it for me though, is the fact that it's like the shot on video, hyper violent, hyper gory film, whereas I just love these like low budget gore scenes that this film just delivers nonstop. Like if you're into that, this is like one of the fucking best movies that you can fucking get into.
I definitely agree with that. I also, you know, now thinking about it, it also bears a slight resemblance to something like Killing Spree.
I was just about to say, like, you know, as you were saying, I'm like, kind of thing fucking feels like killing spree.
It's like a reverse killing spree where he's going after, instead of going after these dudes, he's going after women.
Yeah, that is like a good play.
Silhouetted animator. Interesting factoid. The main guy in this currently works for a major company right now by one of the richest TV personalities. So he's doing well, at least. Wow.
I guess he did a producing thing for, and he directed one of like Oprah's things for his stuff, but he also did some other like TV work and shit, producing, not like, you know.
He also says it reminds him of Schizophreniac the Whoremangler. That is quite the film also.
Anything by Ron Atkins, this definitely has that. That's what I was saying, like this reminds me of that like Video Outlaw era stuff that's like, you know, mid-90s to like late 90s.
Before it started. Where Lunatic
falls into and stuff.
Yeah, before it started going into like the weird softcore porn, like the specialized special interest porn.
Strangler and
stuff. Yeah, all that shit. We're like, we know, we've been around the block. We know when to not pull the trigger. Right? There's a lot of those out there.
Like, pulled it before and then was like, oh, it's one of those. I'm going to watch it still, but goddamn.
Hey, man, it happens. It happens. Sometimes you got to take the gamble. Sometimes it pays off. Sometimes it doesn't, you know? What can you do?
You know, that's what I like about this movie, though, too, is that it flirts with that a little bit. Even in 89, it flirts with that, like, we're going to have some, you know, oil wrestling in the middle of this fucking movie for, like, other reason than to maybe eat up some time. But it's still, like, it still, like, just, like, sexualizes, like, these girls that end up, like, you know, dying in, like, just this fucking, like, really funny way. It's like a bunch of oil wrestler chicks hanging out together.
I'm yeah, just like really random.
What a fucking odd scenario.
Yeah, this is like borderline, like, almost a Wave film. You know what I mean? Where
for sure.
You could see the setup from, like, a mile away, about halfway through the film. Super short. I believe the runtime we saw was, like, 1:07, but really the movie's, like, 1:03, something like that. Insanely quick watch. I feel like that like last sequence where he goes after the girls takes up pretty much about half the film, and it moves along pretty quickly for a shot on video film. It's not like a, you know, like a Cemetery Cinema deal where it's always 1.5 hours and there's like so much extra shit.
Well,
it's like, come on.
I guess there is a 97-minute cut of this film.
Don't need it.
That I guess, like, if a couple of things, something's like, I know that the baby scene that we're going to get into is like much longer.
Oh,
they don't cut away from anything when he's like doing the whole line and shit. Like, it's supposed to be pretty wild. It's basically they cut out some gore.
Yeah.
From the 90s. So in that case, I'm like, I'm kind of interested in seeing the original fucking cut of the film. So
yeah, I don't own the tape. I'm not sure what the cut is on there. I would guess maybe it's a longer one. Who the fuck knows? But I cannot wait to talk about this one because it is fucking insane. So like you said, this dude fucking walks in on his woman with another man, and that dude is like wearing like a banana hammock type getup. Really, really impressed. I liked his look, his vibe.
Didn't he look like Boomhauer from
Yeah. Actually, you're right. And he strangely had like a fucking pistol on him, also. Right?
I feel like he was a cop because didn't he have like a uniform on when he first like showed up at the door?
Dude, it looked like he was just rolling in off the street. Like he wasn't. Because there is a cop in this movie, and he's just wearing like a fucking like an undershirt. With like a Kmart name tag. I thought he was wearing no shirt with the fucking with the chest harness.
I was like, damn, bro, that's a look right there.
Yeah, yeah. But this is how everything starts off. He pretty much just loses it after he finds, you know, his girl with another man, and that's it. He who was that? Michael Douglas in Falling Down?
Yeah, it's the one.
So he pulls that pistol out of his fucking little holster there. And he shoots them.
I love these facial reactions.
Yeah. He kind of looks like Jerry Seinfeld a little bit. Later on the Las Vegas trip.
He does.
Yeah, yeah. So they don't really, like, accentuate him killing them, really, right? They don't show him decapitating the wife because he ends up having her head throughout the movie, but they don't really, maybe just the sound sucked so you don't hear the gunshots, right?
Well, it also just kind of like tiptoes into the movie, man, because like when I first watched that scene, I'm like, oh, so like, is this going to be one of those like shot on video movies where like they are just implying to a lot of violence and they might show you some aftermath stuff, but they're not going to like really get into it. And I was fucking big time mistaken about that. That's yeah, for sure.
I thought maybe that was going to be a similar deal where it's like, oh man, it's all like alluded to, like they're cutting that. But
like Mr. Ice Cream Man, which was still really fucking good, but like there was no on-screen violence, you know?
Yeah, where like it would have just brought it to that next level for us. But our dude's driving to fucking Las Vegas in his red sports car, as he says. It's really like a Toyota Corolla or like a Toyota Camry, right? Or it might even be a Civic. I really don't remember off the top of my head, but not something I would call a sports car of any sort. But he starts like rambling off and you start seeing like a real change in his demeanor because he was like a pretty happy dude in the beginning. He's like pumped about like going home to his wife and everything. And then here he's just going fucking off, right? He is acting like a true basement dwelling incel.
Yeah, exactly.
All women are alike. Just don't deserve to live.
He forgot his life.
Any one of them. She'll do that to me.
How could you do that to me? It's so low.
I'll get even.
Basically, he's just saying he's going to go out and start murdering all women. But he sounds extremely unsure when he's saying it. He probably sounds like the least convinced person about to go on a killing spree that I've ever heard. Right? Like
where he was they don't deserve to live. Yeah, I was like, yeah. They're like, this is tape 88. We're just going to fucking use it at this point, dude. This is fine.
It's like, we don't have enough tape to go back. We just got to fucking keep on going. But this is the point where he starts picking up women and starts disposing of them in extremely brutal ways for a shot on video film.
This is where it really takes off.
Yeah. So the first woman he finds is a prostitute, of course, because it's Las Vegas bloodbath. So you're not going to get out of having a prostitute or two in the movie. But
it's almost inevitable if the movie has, even in a comedy, you're going to get some fucking prostitutes in a Vegas movie.
That's fucking true. But he ties this woman up in an alley to like this random pipe and everything. I don't know why anybody would go along with this shit, right? Like when somebody says to get out of the car and I want to do it here. This is what I want. Yeah, this is what I'm into. Here, let me tie it to this pipe in this random dingy
that's
alley.
Where like it got weird. Like, all right, fine. Like, sure, you're going to, you know, fucking bang behind this dumpster, you know, to each their own. I mean, but like, why would you let this dude tie you the fuck up?
Yeah.
Behind this dumpster? That seems just so like you, you just like don't care about your life.
Yeah.
You're allowing a strange man to tie you up behind dumpster.
And he's That's like not I'm exactly saying. Nice either. He has like this comment when she's like, oh, where do you want to go? And he goes, you're the one that's, you know, working around here. You tell me. Yeah. Like he has like some sort of weird fucking, he's got like some weird response to everything that she says. But he has her tied up. And before he actually does the final killing, we see what happened to his now ex-wife, right? And this is where we got the joke that may have been the same as Lunatic, right? It was something very similar. As you could see, the movie's ridiculousness starts increasing as the minutes tick away. So he's got her tied to like an electrical panel, which is pretty dangerous. I really wouldn't have my hands in that area.
I didn't think of anything.
Yeah, that's fucking. Yeah, so he's got his wife's severed head, which looks great. The effect looks fucking awesome.
the line fucking, you give me some head and I'll give you a head.
Yeah.
And then he gives her a fucking severed head. It's like, so shot on video line.
Yeah, that's like such a low-hanging fruit line. And the one thing that I'm blown away about is the fucking head. It looks great. What the hell?
It looks better than the one in Killing Spree. I will say that.
It looks better than the head in 555. It looks better than the head in Killing Spree. It's fucking crazy. Silhouetted Animator says that they own this movie on DVD, full extended version. So I'm guessing, yeah. So I guess that's the DVD has that. Anybody that owns the tape, let me know. How long is that cut? I wanna know what I'm fucking missing here and like where the hell this came from.
What is it? Dead Alive? That fucking,
is this a Burning Moon? This might be a Burning Moon.
It's a Burning Moon. Yeah, it's a Burning Moon.
Yeah.
That's definitely just the cut we watched.
All right, Desi, you picked one up in a Facebook group a month ago. Pricey, but I had to. All right. What is the running time on that tape? That's what we need to know. What is the running time?
If you're comfortable telling us, what is the going rate right now?
You don't have to tell us that, but if you want to,
I said if they're comfortable. I said I didn't fucking put them on the spot. Hey, I said, everybody, if you're comfortable.
Everybody knows me. I'm in deep. I know how much this shit's worth, but you know, just saying. I want to know, but I want to know what the running time is. Yeah. Well, you liquidated a lot of stuff a couple years back. We thought it was the peak. We thought it was. But that was just the plateau until you reached cloud cover and saw that you had another ascent. Ooh, 500. Not out of the norm nowadays.
People paying a lot more for stuff that I don't think is as cool as this.
Yeah, so at least the movie's
congratulations
good.
On your tape.
At least it's good. At least it's good. The cuts are completely different. Interesting. Fuck, man.
But also at the same time is that I'm you know, I may have like liquidated, but I'm always hunting. I liquidated once, I get another huge fucking haul. Me and you set up shop at fucking VHS Fest. I fucking do it all over again.
Yeah, you're not completely out of the game. Plus, you got some stuff still, right? You still have a few things that are hanging about.
I hang on to special stuff, mostly that I eventually sell to you. So.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, I'm the fucking moron that sits there and, like, rewatches this shit over and over again. I just love all those weird foreign tapes. There's something about them. And a lot of them go overlooked because people don't have a PAL player or anything like that. Or like they're bothered by not knowing what anybody's saying, but it's
and
fun.
Like me and you both have world players and like, you know, I got into fucking grabbing a bunch of that shit. So like nobody else could even really have interest. I mean, I'm sure there's people with interest in it, but like,
it's hard to come by.
I know that you're going to fucking appreciate it and you're going to be able to watch it. That's more important to me.
Goes into the fucking archive, never to be seen again.
I think that's why I even feel better about giving it to you is that like you're fucking tighter than a dolphin's ass, and I know that stuff is never gonna fucking like leave your possession. So
I have a problem with like, all right, if I get rid of this, I'm never gonna be able to get it again because there's no way I can justify like spending the money anymore because like I got a house now and all that shit. Like I got there's a million other things that I'm gonna need to get.
You're a real boy.
I'm a real boy. Sucks, but I still trade, baby. That's the way to do it. I made my investments years ago. That's the when people called me crazy.
Son of a bitch too, Grave Spitter in the fucking chat room now.
Oh, he came. Oh, you know what? Now that he's here, we could finally talk about the fact that they randomly show a news clip, but like a broadcast from Blow, right? The beautiful ladies oil wrestling, and that's yeah, that's where we get the introduction to our female cast. That's going to pretty much take up the rest of the film. Apparently, apparently this fucking whatever, this Federation of Oil Wrestling or Mud Wrestling, whatever the fuck it is,
the Blow Gales.
It is good enough that it has national syndication. That it is on a national program. That's fucking wild. They're watching it in Las Vegas. It's from New York, right? That's where it was filmed.
Oh yeah.
I thought this was pretty fucking funny though that they had to like throw this in. They absolutely had to have it. Yeah, so they're wrestling on trash bags, like I believe silhouetted animator. How do I fuck that up every time? Silhouetted animator said. There's no nudity in this section. They're just in bathing suits wrestling on a bunch of trash bags.
Those are slippery trash bags, my friend. Don't underplay what's going on here.
I want to know where this was filmed, because there's that huge thing of plywood on the wall. This must have been a rich establishment for them to afford such a large piece of plywood. I see a blackboard or something in the back, a fucking projector screen. Who knows, man? But I find it pretty funny that they added it in there. He must have had a connection to something, because where is on the IMDb? Somebody Wet and Wild Wendy and all this shit. Like, I think these people are actually like in this stuff. I don't know. I feel like it's like,
I think they're real blow gals. Yeah, I think it's like a legit thing that they just also like good promotion for this movie.
I just thought that was funny that like it randomly has
play to on glow, so I could see it definitely being a thing.
Do you think it was necessary in the film? Do you think it added anything?
Yeah, dude, are you kidding me? I think it added a lot.
You know, one thing we forgot to talk about is before he killed that woman that was tied up, he tied her legs to the back of his car. Do you want to mention that?
Yeah, I mean, we should probably, you know, show what happens there.
Yeah, so before we get to our next kill, we should probably show you the first one that is extremely memorable, to me at least, because it's extremely hilarious.
Seen her tied up to the fucking electric boxes. Oh, and he also like puts a knife through her jaw before this, which brutal. I thought was pretty fucking gnarly. Looked yeah. really good.
But that's not enough. I know we're going a little out of order, sort of now, but he ends up tearing her leg off with his fucking little Toyota Corolla or whatever. So her leg is tied around the ankle. The rope is strung to the bumper of his car. And his nice little red sports car just pulls it off like he's, I don't even know.
It comes like I was saying, like a wedding can behind a fucking car.
Yeah, he's going down like this fucking road and making a turn onto the street. And he's got like a fake leg fucking just dragging behind. Imagine seeing that. Imagine you're mowing your lawn and you just see like this fucking dude driving down like with a Toyota Tercel or something, just with a leg with a hanging from the back. Yeah. The shit you must see in Las Vegas, man.
All right, so we're back on track. We have the Glow Girls.
Okay.
And they are convening at the one girl's house for a fucking party, right? And our man has like stumbled upon them.
Yeah.
He's peeking in the window, getting a little fucking creepy, you know? And a fucking a maintenance guy just happens to be walking by and kind of catches him being a peeping Tom, and he plays it off like he lost his contact. And he's fucking looking for his contact. And dude, the way he kills this guy with the shovel is fucking awesome. I was not expecting like even this small of a scene to be as awesome as it is.
I'm looking. Do we? I don't think we have that clip, man.
I definitely fucking. All right. Well, it's pretty good.
I don't think we have the shovel clip, but we got to save something for the people to go watch. Can't just fucking give him everything, man. That ruins the movie.
I'm just like really confused. I'm fucking typically confused.
That's all right. That's all right. Because we are now getting into an incredible sequence that I feel like it has no match. This is the first woman that is going to be killed by this madman, and she is pregnant, and it is possibly one of the most this is like a fucking, would you say this is like a taboo thing to put in a movie?
I mean, I could see where people would feel that way. You know, when I first saw it, I was like, holy shit, you know, like that was my initial like guttural response to it. But I was also like, yes, they fucking went there. Like that was like kind of like my second reaction, is just because I feel like things should have no limits. And like, I don't know, this definitely pushes the boundaries of, I think, some people's comfort. I did have to do some tricky boob editing in this scene, but I think it was worth it because you have to see a little bit of the whole thing.
So, he cuts this baby out of her, picks it up over his head as though he is fucking in The Lion King, and slams it against the wall. And it just, like, leaves, like, a blood print, like a splat. Now,
you know, you did say The Lion King there, and our good friend of the show, EK, in our group chat had made a comparison to that movie when he seen the picture I sent him of that. And I felt it was only appropriate in honor of him that I do a little remix for everybody with that clip.
Now, this one may get a shutdown, but you know what? Fuck the mouse. We're doing it anyway. This is more so for our viewers. The people at home will have no idea what the hell they're listening to, but this cracked me the fuck up. That matches up really good. Wow.
Thanks, dude. I took my time with it.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Dude, you're fucked up, man. You and fucking EK.
I'm horrible.
Dude, how does the dude from the Laser Graves podcast come up with that shit? What the fuck, man? What the fuck?
He's
twisted.
He's the brain behind it. I just fucking painted the picture. So
we're all going to be sitting next to each other in hell. That's for damn sure. That's the first of all this shit, and it is pretty fucked up. That is hard to top, man. I don't know. You really can't. I feel
this movie has like a volcano effect where like you get to the very top, and I feel like this is where that's at. It doesn't like disappoint going back down the other way. There's still like a lot to fucking look forward to, but I think you can't really, like you just said, you can't top. No. Someone ripping the baby out and then fucking like shot putting it into the goddamn wall the way that he did.
Definitely not. Now here's one that I wanna ask you, because we see this a lot in movies now. We get a drill to the head. Now, where does this drill kill rate on your fucking list? Do you want me to play the clip first? Let's play the clip.
No, dude, this is okay, yeah.
So he's got his Craftsman drill out, his cordless drill, and he starts going right into her forehead, and she's got that look on her face, like that, like, kind of like dead eyes. Yeah, but they had to go to the side. They didn't have the effect to go straight through and show it.
Okay.
That's a brutal fucking kill, though.
I rate this very high on my drill kills. There's with the caveat, when you're getting that front like POV shot of the drill going into like the front of her skull and like she's making that face, that shit looks great.
Yeah,
very believable. But there's a side shot they hit sometimes where it's obvious that the drill bit is like
to the side,
next to her skull, you know. Where that does not look as good, but then they cut back to like either like a mannequin or something that like looks like her, and they're like drilling the shit out of the skull at that point. And that looks really good too. I just wish they didn't use that side shot to get to like the crossover from like the real girl to like the dummy and shit.
Yeah. I agree. Looks pretty good. That side shot really does bother me also.
It's weird. It does. I don't know. Something about it.
It's got like this weird fucking griminess to it though. Something that like Driller Killer sort of has it. Goblin, I feel like, kind of has it also. Slumber Party Massacre, not so much, because that's like a real movie. But I feel like this one for some reason is slightly better than the Goblin one, because like you actually have more of a clear view of what's going on, and like just this fucking dude is just such like a fucking, I don't know, it's like such a real feeling character to me. He has that look,
zero reasoning too, just like there's no like kindness in this person at all. Like,
yeah, and like he just goes from like a normal, he has the Michael Myers effect, just like one day is normal, one day is not, and that's it, you know, and he's on a rampage. But I really did like that they did that sort of effect here. There's a few other things that they do throughout the movie, which I found fucking awesome. Some other things that we didn't show here that, you know, just other parts to these kills and stuff that go in a little bit more in depth. But eventually we're down to, there's, two more girls? Right? Because there's the final one, and then I think there's one more, because she gets... we don't have the clip of that one, but she gets that fucking, the claw end of the hammer stuck directly into her fucking chest.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like in the bathtub. That is a fucking brutal death. That is a terrible way to die. Well, he shoots
the one in the face, right?
Yeah. Just, oh, like, yeah, there's like five of them, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, he just like just shoots one. It's kind of boring one.
Yeah. So there's one that you think is going to be the final girl, right? You think she's going to be the one that like... takes him out or whatever, and he has her tied to the fucking bed. Her boyfriend shows up looking for her, trying to save her, but unfortunately for him, it doesn't work out well, and for her it works out even worse.
Yeah, 100%.
But this is the second fucking limb pulling that we have in a fucking movie, man. Made me think,
is this possible?
Fuck yeah, it's possible. Hell yeah, it's possible, dude.
It
would be hard as
shit.
Like
another human could do it to another human, you think? Like that much force?
I mean, like, it's, I guess...
with no mechanical help. I'm talking...
like, probably. Grip strength. Probably. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I like that concept.
So he's got her arm in his hands. He's got his legs against like her upper body. Like his foot is in her armpit and he's yanking. And eventually he fucking just pulls her arm off her body.
Oh, yeah, dude.
What a horrendous thing that would be too. While he's in his tighty whities. I love that.
Yeah. Dude,
this guy is something else.
Good little taste.
Yeah. What a weird dude. Look at him. Jerry Seinfeld looking motherfucker.
He does, dude. Yeah. Jerry's bad day.
Dude, you could, I think like if somebody was strong enough and the other person was like weak enough, I think it's possible. I think it's definitely possible. Can me or you do it?
Osteoporosis, you know, like got weak bones that'll give up easy on them. Like fucking,
I don't even
think an old person you could fucking rip the fuck apart, right? Because like they got looser skin, they got fucking bad joints. Like, you could probably tear apart an old person, but I'm thinking like a 22-year-old male, you'd have a real fucking tough time
if you
getting
like
that limb off.
If you're like Goro from fucking Mortal Kombat's like strong, maybe. I don't know. Maybe like
I get that.
Maybe like one of those like world class strong men can possibly do it.
Yeah, you know I mean? Oh, yeah, maybe, like, yeah, I could see that, like, the fucking mountain or whatever, he just comes over.
Because they used to fucking draw and quarter people. You have your limbs ripped off by a horse.
Like horse, right, yeah, but you'd have, like, four horses. That's, like, you know, horsepower.
But it would be easy.
Fuck.
It'd be easy for the horses, though. Like, they just easily did it. Like,
yeah, that's
so,
not much. Yeah, that's true.
So, like,
they're not using full horsepower.
So, like, if an extremely strong dude was to, like, maybe somebody who's got a separated shoulder already or something, like... it's really not much.
But for
it's really not much
for an average
on.
Man, though, it would have to be an old person or like a child. That'd be the only way you could tear somebody apart.
Brutal. What a fucking chat that we're having right now, man. What a fireside chat. Let us know. Can you rip off a limb of another human being?
It's possible.
Do you think it's possible? Hafþór Bjornsson, that guy?
Yeah, the mountain.
The mountain. Yeah, that guy. Toxic Avenger strike on this guy. So he ends up, kills this woman, kills the boyfriend, cops too late. He walks into the bathroom, guy's laying in a bathtub, which it appears as though his arms are tied up to like, you know, the fucking railing of the bathtub or whatever. But Grizz, this movie can't have a good ending. This has to have a fucking... he has to
survive.
Shirtless
cop is going to get it.
Shirtless cop. Shirtless Freddie Mercury cop is going to fucking get it. So this, like, bathroom is just, like, a horrendous scene. There's shit everywhere. There's the fetus, like, in the toilet. There's a head hanging from the wall. There's heads fucking everywhere. But Jerry Seinfeld's laying there. He pulls out a gun from the bathtub and shoots the cop. Man, I was not expecting that, to be honest. Were you?
No, not really. It's, dude, honestly, like, it reminds me so much of like a House of a Thousand Corpses fucking like gag or something like that. Just like all the different body parts, like,
it's
concealing the real person. Oh, it's such a, it's awesome.
Imagine walking into that. Imagine walking into that. That's fucked up. The
smell would be wild, you know, super irony and shit.
Supernatural smell, man. We'd have to get the EMF fucking meter out for that one. God damn. People would be retiring after that one.
Oh, this movie's so fucking good, dude.
It's one of those things where it's like, yeah, when you see the corner, no, it's like, oh, where's the corner? It's like, oh, he's throwing up his lunch, whatever, from Nightmare on Elm Street. It's like, when you see that, you know it's bad. Like, when that dude's having a hard time. But Grizz, that's the movie. What do you think? What are your final thoughts on this?
No happy endings. I fucking love it, dude. Love it. This doesn't need much of a story. This is just like a, this is like a display of just like violent scenes, really, you know. This I mean, as much as like I do enjoy like a good story and stuff, for the fucking gore hound in me, man, this just like fucking checks every box of just like wild shit, unexpected ways to kill people that are just like, not, you know, sometimes the stuff gets boring where it's just the same thing over and over again, like, you know, I feel like these are creative deaths that are like done in a really good way. The fucking baby scene alone, just god damn, dude, like,
yeah,
I never expected to see that, and then like to see it, I'm like, dude, bravo.
Fuck not? To be shocked is a great thing,
right? I loved like, it. Yeah, it doesn't happen often.
It's some of the shit is almost, you know, it's very unique to the film. I feel like this thing has a very unique look to it and everything. I don't know, I just I loved it. I thought this was really good. I was expecting to not be impressed, because usually when a movie is extremely expensive, very rarely are you like, really, like, wow, that was worth it. But this one is a fuck good movie, man. This one is actually a good film. Does somebody who enjoys fine cinema, you know, are they going to think it's a good film? No. This is a shot on video film from 1989, made on a low budget with some fuck crazy motherfuckers. But for us, it's exactly what we're looking for in one of these.
You know, you made a point I never really thought of before either. And like, why maybe this is so appealing is because like, there is that element of like unknown expectations. Whereas like, you go watch like a big blockbuster movies, you don't even have like expectations of what the effects are going to be and shit. Like, you just know they're going to be like top realistic. Of the line. It's a fucking
good
big production. Yeah. But with these things, man, it's just so like, it's so hit or miss. It's so like, you know, you could get something that is good in a story sense, but has horrible effects, or you get something like this that is just like, the effects are so far better than what the actual, you know, premise of the movie is.
Bare minimum premise.
Bare minimum, but it doesn't need it for what it's trying to get across. This is just a bad fucking day in this guy's life, and it's done in an amazing way.
Yeah, it's.
This won't get a Criterion release. No, I don't think so.
No. Maybe a Vinegar Syndrome.
I could see like a Saturn's Core for sure.
Yeah, one of those. But I really think people should go check this one out. There's a DVD. There is that fucking tape that's out there that it's going to be very hard for you to track down. But there's also versions out on the internet that you too can watch and be amazed at Las Vegas Bloodbath. So Grizz, next week, man, we're going to be covering something that I've been wanting to do for a while. I have the DVD here, and that is going to be Cryptic Plasm from 2015. Brian Pollan film. We're big fans of his. I think this is going to be a great time. I think this is going to make people go out and watch this, possibly buy the DVD also, because it is an anthology-esque film. These two dudes going out investigating some shit, and like, it's a bunch of wild stuff that happens. I am pumped to do this. This is your first time watching it, right?
Yeah, before you told me already, like a little like breakdown before we talked about it, I was like, yeah, this is going to be right up my alley. All like the different little stories you told me about sound spot on for the things that you know that I'm super into. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a fun week.
Yeah, I really think that you're going to like this. Brian Pollan, dude that made At Dawn They Sleep, Bad Taste Hall of Famer. right? He has a lot of fucking good movies. I watched, where was it? I watched Fetus. That was a fucking awesome movie. I think I told you that was an awesome movie also. Bone Sickness was also a good movie, I believe. I watched all this shit. Like, just one day I was like, you know what? Let me find these other ones. I want to see it. And I'm fucking pumped to cover this next week, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on our YouTube page, youtube.com/@badtastevideopodcast. If you're listening at home, you could come see what we're actually playing when we're talking about it. It's a good time. The chat is always great, as per usual. But my man, it's time that we hit the wide world of metal/hardcore again. And what do we have this week?
Dude, I've been like trying to cover this band for a while. They don't have like a lot of like new material. It's from the last, you know, couple of years and stuff, but I've just been like so kind of obsessed with the way this band performs. Their live videos are just absolutely amazing. The band is called Mexican Coke. And as soon as I fucking like stumbled across the live video of them, I just kind of like fell in love. I love grindcore, like old classic grindcore. That's kind of like crusty. That's kind of like the only kind of punk that I can feel like I fall into that like feels
it's like borderline natural metal
for me to listen to. Yeah, because it still has like the vocal. I think the issue I have with I came to this conclusion, and it was kind of because of like covering this. That the issue I have with punk is mostly about the vocal delivery that goes with it. I can't stand punk vocals, right? Yeah. I think musically there's stuff about it that I can fucking, you know, it's borderline metal throughout the whole thing, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas like the vocals in this are just like harsh, fucking like in your face. On the actual like albums or like releases that they do, it's like some, like the one we're going to hear now is more, it's a little bit cleaner of a vocal on like the one album. It's so fucking distorted like that you can barely understand. Yeah. So like, but it's all a part of their sound. And like, you know, you'll kind of hear what we're talking about here. Let's play the Urban Cowboy track. This is their album song. So you can kind of get an idea of what their releases will sound like.
The vocals are awesome.
I love them.
Wait till you see them.
Like, this is the perfect amount of distortion on the vocals for this album.
Yeah, I'm into it. You know I'm into that shit. But that's not what. Yeah. That's not really what we want to talk about, though, right?
That's not what fully sold me, dude. Because I saw the video of this band playing live first, and I feel like the releases are great. You know, it's good fucking grindcore. It's crusty. It's got, you know, a lot of like fucking two-step parts in it too and shit like that. They're all over. That's definitely more of like a hardcore punk,
yeah,
I think band would be like the term most people would put on it, I guess. But man, this live show, their fucking gimmick or whatever, man, I fucking love it. This dude on stage with their fucking masks on, fucking sawed off shotguns and shit. This is like fucking presentation for a badass band, in my opinion. Let's just play the fucking first live clip and we can check it. Everybody can check it out.
He's got cowboy boots on.
Fuck yeah. Vocals.
See, I wish the whole band would look like this motherfucker.
Yeah, they should all go hard like you.
Yeah, look at this guy. I like that he's got the shotgun though.
Dude, these are my favorite shows. Like when I think back of all the different shows that I've been to and that I've played, shows with that vibe right there are hands down always the funnest, man. You know, the crowds are usually fucking super into it, regardless of the band that's on stage. Like, it's just a good fucking night where everybody's fucking getting down. And like, it seeing videos like that just makes me really fucking miss that aspect of things. Like, that's the good shit that, you know, comes with like playing in a fucking fun band.
Yeah. See, like for me, like growing up, like we never had a scene like that. at least not when I was playing that, you know, any sort of like punk or anything. I mean, it was like, I was very young when I was in punk bands. And then I went into hardcore bands, like in high school I was in hardcore bands, but it was like New York hardcore bands. So it was all fucking moshing and shit. It was all crowd killing, stuff like that. We didn't have any sort of fucking, like, it wasn't, it, I feel like it's different now. And I wish that I was still able to like get into that type of music, like in the scene. I'm too old now. I'm not going to fucking,
yeah, I mean, it's how I feel.
I ain't starting that shit again. But I really am like jealous of this whole thing. And I think like they have such an awesome look. I personally like this music. I think it's fucking great. I think the recordings are good too. But like the live presentation is A+. And he even sounds awesome live, right? Like sounds the great. Vocals are great.
The intensity of the band, like to play this kind of, like everyone's like, oh, that's like simple fucking, like it, they play at such a fast pace. And like it's constantly changing, and they do such a good job of like staying together, fucking keeping everything super tight. I think that like is something that's like kind of like, you know, not spoken about too much with bands like this, is like how fucking like hard it actually is to keep these things like moving and like fucking cohesive at times. And this band is so fucking locked into what they play.
That's one thing that a lot of people don't realize. So like coming from playing in, you know, death metal bands and shit like that, is that eventually like you have to literally build up like forearm strength and everything to have like the stamina to play full sets while being entertaining, while fucking playing your shit correctly. But then you also have to be able to like listen to hear what's going on. You're playing at 220 beats per minute. So if somebody fucks up, you got to try to catch it immediately of where that person fucked up. Who fucked up? Do you follow them or do you abandon them?
How do you get back together?
Yeah, because a general rule usually is you follow the drummer. That's usually the thing. Whatever the drummer does, that's where you go. Because it's
person catch back up to the fucking drummer if it's not the drummer. Yeah, you got to figure out what the fuck the drummer just did.
Yeah, it's very noticeable when like everybody's playing something different than the drummer, than say like one guitarist is playing something else or the bass player is playing something else. Yeah. Always follow the drummer. Always, always. But we got another live clip here. So why don't I roll this one?
His vocal delivery he does at this part coming up.
I'm wearing similar boots as this guy right now. I don't know. Wait, can I?
The bitches up. Fuck yeah, you are. Look at that bad boy. Shit kicker.
Howdy. I love it, man. I love it.
Oh, this reminds me of like early Circle of Dead Children and shit like that, dude. This is so fucking like reminiscent of like kind of that, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, like grindcore thing that was like really popular at the time. Also that like they have elements of that kind of music, not all this stuff. A lot of it is kind of like hardcore punk, but like that clip in particular, like that song is just so fucking like good old school grindcore, in my opinion. That's kind of why I like this band even more, is because it does kind of like go back and forth between like a crust punk and a hardcore punk kind of thing.
Yeah. Where are they from? Do you know where they're from?
Oh, I didn't check it out. No, I didn't look that part up.
Let me see, because I'm pretty curious if it's a.
I know they are Mexican. they have like videos where they're not wearing their masks and shit, and the singer's got a dope ass mullet.
Houston, Texas.
That makes good. Yeah. That checks out.
Damn, man. This band's awesome. A+. Thanks for showing me this. For real. I was really, I'm into this, dude. I'm going to be listening
on it for a while, and I was like, you know what? Fuck it. It's, I'm not going to sit around and wait for like a new release or something. I just want to fucking cover this band.
I'm
in love with them, and I wanted to share it. So.
Hey, man. Eventually got to fucking do it. So,
Very much like Couple Skate Viano, very similar vocal delivery, just kind of different music styles, but like very similar vocals.
Yeah. I have it on my fucking iTunes thing. Maybe I got to look, I got to see if it's on there, definitely they have a Bandcamp. I see that they have a fucking Instagram at MexicanCoke_TX.
Great fucking name.
MexicanCoke.bandcamp.com. Looks like
great
Cult Nation covered them at some point, 2022. Good for them. Check them out. They got YouTube shit. I'm fucking into it. But Grizz, oh, yeah. I think that just about wraps it up for this week. Time. Is there anything else that we missed? Did we miss anything?
I don't think so. If, you know, we are banned for life because of what I did with the clip of...
Well, we didn't go off the air like in Blade. Remember that? Like they fucking kicked us off for a while.
I don't know. If Disney takes me out, and I love you guys.
So. you're gonna see the fucking big Mickey Mouse shoes under your door, like 3 a.m.
That's fucking terrifying.
Open up, haha! I can't do the fucking voice. Next week we're gonna be covering Cryptoplasm. Like I said, I'm fucking really all about this movie. I think people are gonna really dig it also. And like I said before, Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/@badtastevideopodcast. We do it every Tuesday night. So you could hear the podcast that we release on Thursday live early. Or not. Listen to it at home, everywhere. But Grizz, where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me on Instagram at @Kane_enabler.
And you can find everything we do at www.badtastevideo.com. We have a Patreon and I have some shit up on there. It's more so just helping us pay the bills at this point, 295 episodes deep. It's cost me a pretty penny to keep this thing rolling. But we appreciate everybody that has helped. You guys are definitely a number one. And that wasn't like a thing. Isn't that like a bad thing now? You can't do the okay symbol, right? Isn't that bad now?
Oh, I don't know. Dude, you better be careful with those hands.
I don't know. Yeah. I swear. God damn it. But Grizz, we're coming up to episode 300 soon. That is insane. We're going to try to get some guests for that one. We're going to try to pick we got to pick a fucking awesome movie for that. I don't know. Do we do Ghoulies 3 again? Do we go back to the beginning? I don't know. But I feel like we have I feel like episode 300, maybe we'll pick a couple and I'll put up like a poll or something and we'll see what people pick. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Maybe I could get creative with my editing and I could put
something special.
Yeah. We're going to have to think about that one. It's coming up. It's coming. So, Grizz, is there anything else that you would like to speak about before we head off into the sunset?
Dude, I'm good. I'm stoked for next week. Cryptoplasm. Is that what it is? Cryptoplasm?
Plasm. ASM.
Magma.
So that's it, man. So that's it. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, everybody, for coming in the chat. You guys have been great. I'm telling you are going to fucking love next week's movie. Yes, see you next Tuesday. We are fucking out. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next week.